The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And we'd like to welcome you to another edition of Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, out on the web at linewsradio.com. I'm Bob Vecchio, your host. I'm also the Deputy Executive Director for the Nassau-Suffolk School Board Association, and we use this show to help promote all the great things that school districts are doing in our buildings across Long Island. And listen, we are happy that schools are back and kids are back in the buildings and learning and getting back to whatever our new normal is. And, you know, the sun is rising, the daylight is at the horizon there, and we know things are getting a little bit better, but more importantly, kids are smiling and happy to be back in school. Who would have thunk that, right? Kids happy to be back in school. You know, they used to complain about going to school, but now they are looking forward to it. Last week, we were speaking with the folks from the Valley Stream 30 school district. Well, it's actually Valley Stream District number 30, if I got that right. They're located up in Nassau County, three elementary schools that feed the Central High School system. And Dr. Sterling is their superintendent of schools. And this is an award-winning school district that embraces, not just embraces, it actually lives, breathes the DEI initiatives that are so important for their school district. And Dr. Sterling, we covered a lot of ground last week, and I hinted to the audience last week at the end of the show, we've only begun to scratch the surface of some of all the initiatives you've taken on in these elementary buildings. And it goes so much further beyond just the core learning. But it's really impressive how you really have just made, put this in every fiber and being within your district.
Well, it's the people. It's the people whom that get it done. And it's the people that we continually think about and work towards improving all services and opportunities in the district. Last week, we spoke a lot about diversity and equity. And we started to discuss how we include our community, individual students in programs and activities throughout our school district. And I hope we can talk a little bit more specifically this evening about social emotional learning and how we've actually taken some really innovative steps towards supporting that initiative.
Yep. And we just have one loose end to tie up from last week. And that was the time management of all these services. And Ms. Luna, we were talking about so many things that you guys take on and some of the services that parents may or may not be aware of. Talk to us about how you manage that during the course of the day.
Absolutely. So last week, my colleague shared with you Taste of Service and what this event looks like for our families. We were really able to highlight different services. So what this looks like in practice is we have a time built into our school day called IE time. So it stands for Intervention Enrichment. And this is actually two periods that are set aside each day. We function on a 6-day cycle at Valley Stream 30. So two periods each day where this is the time when students might get pulled out for remedial services. They might be going to band and orchestra. We have an enrichment program separate from our enrichment for all that students do attend with enrichment teachers. So that time is built in the day. And while students might be leaving the classroom, this also affords the classroom teacher time for small group work. So classroom teachers are able to follow up with their students on any type of core or understandings that they may have missed at any point, or also this allows them to push students further. This is time where book clubs are taking place in classrooms as well. So we're really always thinking of ways to meet the needs of all of the learners that are in our school buildings.
So this is how you deal with and making sure that you have equity and access for all, depending on their own individual need at the time. And, you know, one of the pullout services that people are familiar with or may not be as familiar with our speech services. And my young son, when he was a youngster, as is typical with a lot of boys, as I learned, had some, you know, impediments with certain speeches. I mean, some words and practices. And Dr. Schimpf, you are the director of special services for the school district there. And to this day, I always remember Ben Roethlisberger, because that was one of the words my son had to practice that his speech therapist said to work on to help him with his rolling R's as such. But speech awareness happens every May. Talk to us about some of the things that parents should know about services within your school district and most other districts when it comes to, again, speech and mastering it, because that could really, really be a significant hindrance to learning if you're afraid to speak.
Thanks, Bob. I must tell you that our speech department last year, despite the pandemic, their creative juices were flowing. So last year, despite the pandemic and being remote, we did launch for the first time our Speech and Language Awareness Week. And the reason why we decided to launch it, and it runs every May, and it's become a very successful event, it's going to be an annual event moving forward, is that we really wanted to showcase our speech and language therapist expertise, that it's beyond a traditional role of just working with students with disabilities. They bring a wealth of knowledge, as well as we want our students to really realize the importance of language throughout everything that they do, their future careers, how they relate to their peers. So during that week, our speech and language pathologists created interactive activities. They were remote last year. This year, we're looking at the possibility of doing a hybrid combination of in-person and remote, since it will be in May. We're keeping our fingers crossed. But really, through those interactive activities, it really helps students have a voice and understand the importance of having a voice, as well as understanding the role of a speech and language pathologist. And lastly, fostering empathy to their peers who have speech difficulties. So that was a critical piece that we wanted to do as well. And we got very good feedback from the staff, the classroom teachers, that we are looking at expanding it for the future. And that is stemming from, you know, our school psychologist, which Erin can speak of. They started the School Psychology Awareness Week, and our speech pathologists are doing amazing work with their week as well.
And before we speak to Ms. Malone about that, one quick question that just popped in my head, right? This year, like last, we have the mask mandate. And, you know, I've heard some parents express concerns about how our kids learning some of the techniques, because a lot of it is looking at, you know, how you jaw and your tongue and everything else. What are some of the creative ways that your staff is dealing with this to deal with students that need that assistance?
Well, I would say a combination of things. Our speech and language pathologists have tried every single mask on the market in regard to having students see their lips. We have used, you know, clear masks as well that don't fog up, as well as last year we did a lot of remote sessions that were interactive that was very effective. And we've used different barriers so students and staff felt comfortable to take their masks off. But Bob, before we talk about the psychological piece, I just did also wanted to share, we are launching this year for the first time for parents to understand a multi-tiered level approach to language support. So like I said, we're kind of moving away from the traditional role of a speech and language pathologist. So we're not just looking at our speech pathologist servicing students with disabilities. We understand as a district, there are learning differences of all of our students and they all learn at different rates. And we really are utilizing our speech and language pathologists to do much more consultation work. We have our speech and language pathologists did a lot of research last year, so we're launching it this year. All of our students, K to 12, because you know how critical those years are. And there is a correlation between students who have language difficulties and their ability to learn and read. So we are doing screeners, quick screeners of language and articulation K to 2. And we're having a very strategic approach of delivering multi-tiered services for students short term and making those early identification if a student truly has a disability or they just need some short term targeted therapy. And we're also looking to support our teachers of creating listening centers and other resources in the classroom that our teachers can use to help our students.
That is a lot. That's all I can say. I've listened to all that, and that is a lot. And Ms. Malone, before we get into social and emotional for the students, talk to me about some of the things you've done for the wellness of your staff, because it's been really, really tough on this industry.
So outside of our programs and supports, as you would say. I think you can start to hear, Bob, that one of the things that's really essential in our district is taking care of the whole child, taking care of the whole family, taking care of the whole staff member. So I would like to give us a little bit of a shout out for the work that we were able to do this summer going into the year, making sure that we had opportunities for our staff to also meet with our school psychologists. So we had a remote orientation, if you will, where students who were not in the building last year were invited in to come and see that school looked the same, the teachers looked the same. There might be some social distancing and some different constructs to the classroom, but we wanted the kids to feel really comfortable walking in on that first day. We sent out an inventory to families to find out what was needed by their students and by the families to feel safe. And we also did the same for staff members. So just as our school psychologists were available to our students and our families, they were also available to staff members. During the pandemic last year, when we were out remote, we all hosted different evenings where we had open hours for our building administrators to meet with any staff members who might feel it necessary. We also had, if you will, venting sessions where building administrators weren't there and teachers were able to get together and talk about what was going on. We really embraced the idea of it was the same storm but different boats. And that was really important to make sure that we were dealing with everybody's individual needs to support our families.
When we come back from the break, we're going to hear about how they took care of the social and emotional and continue for their students. You're listening to the Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. And we'd like to welcome you back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. Continuing our conversation here with Valley Streams District number 30 and a whole host of initiatives. I mean, you know, there's just so many things going on in this school district that we had to do two shows, and I have a feeling we could probably have them back and talk about some more. But we were talking about, you know, a very serious subject about the wellness of the staff and some of the services that kids need and how they're pulled in. What they need, but don't miss out on some of the core things that are taught in the buildings. And Erin Malone, she is the principal of Forest Road Elementary over in Valley Stream District 30. And before the break, we were talking about some of the things you guys were doing for the staff for the wellness, because it was so critically important. Talk to us, more importantly, though, there was a real significant concern about the social emotional well-being of students before the pandemic. And I'm sure you're familiar, like I am, with some of the very sobering statistics about the mental health needs of primary grade level students in particular were skyrocketing. And most school districts were investing heavily in social workers and psychologists like never before. Talk to us about some of the things you guys are doing there for the social and emotional well-being of your students.
Sure. And I really do appreciate you putting the context to us looking back a little historically and not just about the pandemic, which has obviously been startling. But this work was done previously. And as a district with a DEI lens, before DEI was a popular kind of phrase, we were already looking to transform how we supported all of our students and met individual needs. So, you know, talking about SEL as being embedded into the fabric of our day, it's not a support program at Valley Stream 30. It's not a teacher's manual that gets pulled out to go along with a program. It's not a period of time in the day. It's all of those things, but more than that, it's really how are we bringing it to life and how are we breathing life into it so that all of our students feel that they have an accessibility to help that they might need. I think it's really important to think about the emotional intelligence of our students, right? If we talk about educating the child as a whole, we want to make sure that they feel safe, they feel comfortable. It's not just environmental. It's really making sure that they have the grit and the perseverance that will help them to face the challenges that they're going to face. For each individual, it's going to be a different road. And giving the staff the tools that they need to help support that, making sure our families are aware of the services that are available, and taking that stigma away from mental health conversations. And that's really where our district has been going for the last several years. And I would say that we've made a big shift, right? It used to be 13 years ago when I got to the district and you would reach out to a family and say, we want the school psychologist to speak to your child. There was a lot of pushback. There was a lot of hesitancy. There was a a lot of resentment. There might even be some anger. What kind of a judgment are you making about my child? We wanted to, quote unquote, normalize the accessibility to our school psych supports because we recognize how important it is. And we spoke in a previous show about what we're doing to get our kids ready for seventh grade. It's a major, major transformation. So a couple of years ago, we started having our school psychologists push into our sixth grade classes to talk about mental health awareness and mental health initiatives from New York State, bringing that into the classroom and not making it separate and aside, not leaving a little chart outside of a school psychologist's office and saying, sign up if you need to talk to somebody. We were bringing it to the people, so to speak. Everybody was getting the same kind of message. And what was really, really awesome about this, Bob, was that now our teachers were building capacity. Our teachers were hearing how to speak with children about sensitive issues, about how to be open and talking about dealing with emotions. You know, sometimes it can be a little scary when you open up a conversation like that within a classroom and somebody shares a sensitive piece of information. But what we have done is we've built a culture and a climate where that's acceptable to be able to have those sensitive conversations with those around you and in a peer group. Our school psychologists have done a tremendous job of taking support services and bringing it into the classrooms for everybody. So it's no longer we're waiting for something to happen. This is a very proactive approach that we've taken on. Each one of our students in our school districts go through a screener, a mental health screener. It's called Review 360. So much like all of our other benchmarks for figure out where kids are in September for reading and writing and math, we're also doing this for their mental health. Again, when we first started this, parents might not have been right on board with us, but being transparent and working with our families to let them know that this is a proactive type of approach that we're trying to adopt has made a really big world of difference in terms of the support we're able to give to students. Short-term support in terms of an RTI model, giving kids what they need, getting them ready to face the challenges of the classroom, giving them self-advocacy skills, and having them be able to speak about what their needs are has been tremendous. So yes, we celebrate School Psychology Awareness Week in September and November, and we have our school psychologists go in and they bring in these great activities to the kids to talk to them about growth mindset and handling different types of challenges. But it's so much more than that. It really is embedded into everything we do within our school system. And it is at the forefront of what we're doing. It's as equally as important as our curriculum initiatives. We understand that if our kids are not ready to learn, and that's all of them, because everybody's coming with their own baggage, their own script, their own schema, they're all coming with something different. It's really, really important to level that playing field.
And Mr. Colarossi, you are the principal over there at Shore Elementary. You know, it's meeting the students where they are. It's being proactive, not reactive, which is so critically important. And it's almost taking on the role of, you know, the new thing that you're hearing about is having staff members and your team being trauma informed, because the trauma, you know, you could actually trigger something the wrong way by saying something that is a trigger and not in with the intention of helping, but being informed and being sensitive and attuned to that is so critically important as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob. You know, and really thinking of what the community needs. So, for instance, realizing that our students would need additional support, Dr. Sterling and the Board of Education even budgeted for an additional school psychologist within the district. Not only a new school psychologist, but one who's bilingual, who's able to speak to our students, our E&L students and those families that we've spoken about.
Finding one of those was like trying to find Clorox during a pandemic. My goodness, good for you.
But what that also enables us to do, Bob, is exactly what my colleague, Ms. Malone, was speaking about, of our push-in model. So it's not just the mandated students that are receiving these SCL supports. It's also students that may need an anxiety group, who may need a friendship group. We have, at my building in particular, 77 new admits. So our school psychologists are working with new kids on the block. So these are students that they're just getting around the building, tours around the building. We're getting them outside. They're listening to our ruler approach. They each have a colored bracelet so that when they see one another in the hallways, and this is all led by our school psychologists. Not to mention all of our buildings host an array of community events such as Welcome Back Movie Night, check and connect for our students that need to build relationships throughout the building as well.
Yeah. And Mr. Singleton, again, you're the principal over Clearstream Elementary. You know, Ms. Malone touched on something so critically important as far as taking the stigma out of this, right? And I think by interweaving it into the everyday fabric of your school district there, it really demystifies the service, right? Because it becomes part of their norm and that safe space to speak about whatever issues may be on their mind that would take away from a positive learning experience.
Right, right. One of the ways we create a safe space is by building a classroom charter. So in each classroom, the teachers and the students come up with a classroom charter. And the classroom charter basically is the way the classroom is going to be governed throughout the year. It could be amended just like the Constitution. However, one of the main tenets of it is how each student wants to be treated, what they value. If there comes an instance where a student experiences anxiety, how will we deal with that? Who will help the student? Who will volunteer to speak to the student on the side? And so there's all of these different modalities and tenets that they place into the class charter that allows them to have a smooth year. And all of that has to do with just regulating your emotions on an intelligent basis. And so we use the Yale ruler approach, which has the mood meter, the meta moment, and the classroom charter and the blueprint as part of our pillars to have students be able to use that to regulate their emotions on a daily basis. They come in right away in the morning. They look at the mood meter, and the mood meter is this, it's a grid that has yellow for happy, blue for sad, green for just mellow, and red when you're on fire. When you're just upset about something. That's when you're just boiling hot. And so
I got to tell you, and we're winding down our second show here. We are definitely going to have Valley Stream 30 back because I'm going to want to talk to some of the students and maybe some of the family members. Dr. Sterling, hats off to you, sir. Your team, again, the way you just make it part of the everyday way of life, really, over at Valley Stream 30. Very impressive.
Thank you. We are the friendly schools.
You are the friendly schools. Friendly show called Spotlight on Long Island Schools. And again, you can catch us out on Facebook. Go there to suggest a program, club, or activity that your district is involved in. And your school may be the next one right here in our spotlight. We want to remind you, please stay well. Please stay healthy, make smart choices. And once again, work in partnership with your schools because that is the best formula for success in any district. Talk to you next week.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.